Hi everyone, welcome to the Breeze Podcast, episode 117, where your word of mouth is our oxygen. My name is Negi Kalesi, and I'm here with
your boy, the Don, the Dada, the man, Victorious White.
Oh wow, what an intro.
Whoops. Dishwasher. As you can see, we're in a cozy studio. We actually had an attempt yesterday to record an episode.
We did indeed.
That's on my mind, babe.
What happened to that?
Well, first of all, the it lagged the audio because well, you would say that I didn't listen to what you said, so I had to put on headphones to hear you clearly.
It was just a real roller coaster ride, so we feel like we could do a better job.
Yeah, so we delayed it to now. And I don't know, can you describe to the listeners our studio?
Gosh, it's like a jungle, a kitchen jungle, I would say. Yeah. So we're sat currently in our kitchen. Victor's done a brilliant job of setting up, you know, all of our plants up on the counter. We've got Christmas decorations, we've got lights.
Most of all, we have an extra screen here that you can see, so everything looks good. We have a floating Bose speaker constructed by yours truly. That's about what you can see. Anyhow, yeah. Babe, do you want to roll the intro?
Let's roll the intro.
Hey guys, it's Gary V. You're listening to the Breeze Podcast.
And that's a new intro.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think John is going to think, babe?
I don't know. Maybe he's, I don't know. Maybe I don't have a co-host anymore.
He's just going listening about right now and thinking.
Well, John, we love you, but I figure that you're in for a surprise since you're not on the show right now.
Yeah.
Anyhow, babe. So, you've been on the show before.
I have indeed.
And we talked about a lot of interesting things. You're currently in your second year studying dentistry.
Yeah.
And you have the best boyfriend in the world.
Yes.
And on top of that, you're also, I don't know, you're just the best in my world.
Oh, you're the best in my world too. But one thing has majorly changed since that podcast episode.
Okay.
And that is that you have now just completed your first term at Stockholm School of Economics.
Not yet.
Nearly.
Soon.
Soon, yeah.
In January.
And so, but when we were recording, I think we were at IMIs, so you had kind of just started on the intro.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you've been following the podcast, you know a lot has happened since. Yeah. Right now, I have my first exam coming up Saturday, I believe, in Management Organizing 1. And then I have Accounting, Understanding Financial Reports on Monday.
Yeah. About the financial accounting, so basically, I overheard your professor say that nobody leaves SSE without understanding how to close the books, which is an important life skill. Yeah. I mean, we don't get taught that at school.
No.
Did you?
No.
No? Before you came to SSE?
No.
No. Does that mean I'm never going to learn out of, okay, so all of my high school, my first bachelor's, this is my second bachelor's, I'm going to go through nearly 20 years of education and not know how to close the books?
Yeah, yeah. The thing that surprises me is in a field like dentistry, some of the most, well, the most beautiful woman in the world currently studies dentistry, from my research. And
she sounds really cool.
Oh, she's well, you're my girlfriend. I can't talk about other girls.
That's true.
When you're here.
That's true.
But anyhow, so, and from my understanding, when I've been talking to this chick, is that they have no business administration accounting whatsoever, which is weird since I would assume a hefty percentage of dental students end up starting their own practice.
Absolutely. And even if you are part of a dental practice, you know, if you're not owning it, you still want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
You want to know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm as surprised as you are. I am as surprised as you are.
And the thing is, so we've done this really basic accounting course. Accounting is the language of business. There's two dialects, essentially. Financial accounting and management accounting. Financial accounting is more about the overview, the global view, whereas management accounting is more about the costing, the short-term, you know, costs that you experience as a self-practice owner in this case. I believe we've done it in two months.
Wow, that's amazing.
With a really good digital module as well. So it's not difficult, you know. They could easily put this on top of whatever you're doing now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've had a ton of courses where it's a web course. We have to do it online and, you know, follow the schedule ourselves. It's not hard to put in a quick accounting course, a quick accounting 101.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, and as well as in other businesses where, like, I would assume if you're doing carpentry, plumbing, electrician education, that you don't get this either.
But I mean, forget this age. At a young age, we got to know about taxes. We got to know about insurance, that type of thing. I'm not saying, like, let's teach five-year-olds how to do it. I'm thinking when we're 17, 18, our last years of college, we're getting ready for the real world kind of thing. Either our own business ventures, university. Like, we got to know how life works.
No, I think you should learn the basics in elementary school, such as you have sexual education. You have, well, at least in Sweden, you have like basic how to do laundry, how to cook food. Do you guys have that too in England?
I mean, we had it once a week for one course in our final year of high school.
Yeah, yeah, it's similar in Sweden.
Okay.
And in the same way, you should definitely have like, you know, your private economy 101, paying taxes. But I do think that business accounting is specific to, I think that doesn't have to, you don't need to learn that in elementary school.
No, I completely agree. However, what we do need to learn is kind of how to set a budget, how to stick to a budget. That's pretty simple stuff. Things that me and you are doing today, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, educating people financially is something that me and John have kind of had like an underlying value in this podcast. Now, thinking about our demographic, you guys listening to this or watching this on YouTube, I'm hoping that you found some value because there's different steps to it. Like, the first is to master budgeting for yourself or for you and your partner. That's step number one, right? And then you have the world of investing, which for retail investors, it's only gonna get better. So don't think that, you know, there's a lot of people that have, that I would assume have between £1,000 to, I don't know, £100,000 upwards, whatever it might be. And there's a lot of people who have a lot of money. But what I'm trying to get across is that I think with technology and everything that we're going through, and with all these new super apps, neo banks, etc., I think that's also a good start for your savings, which is part because you budget to keep costs down, to not splurge too much on food, partying, whatever. But what's left of the money, that's supposed to grow, guys.
If you
keep that on just your account, you know, just putting money in there, that's worthless. It's actually declining in value when you look at inflation. And sorry to get technical, babe, but I think the Fed has printed like $2 trillion in the last 2 months.
Yeah, I understand.
So I'm into this.
Yeah.
In layman's term, can you please explain to me what you snapped up of what I just said, so we get some context, you know?
Okay, so people earn money. Yeah.
Yeah.
People earn money. They, you know, they spend however much they spend per month.
Yeah.
And then they think that they should put the rest into a savings account.
Yeah.
And let their money sit there. But what
and just accumulate. And just month and after just month, accumulate. You deposit.
Yeah, you deposit your, what's
pounds,
left over. £1,000,
£500, £100, yeah. £50.
Exactly, whatever it is.
And we're doing pounds because my beautiful girlfriend is British.
Okay, so you've got that savings account. What Vic is trying to say is that this savings account is actually detrimental to, like, your... the thing that you're trying to do is going to go down in value, whereas if you invest it in something like stocks, you know,
which is a dangerous game to play.
It is a dangerous game
because you could lose it all.
Yeah.
However, what you're saying, babe, let me just fill in before you continue. You have these index funds.
Yeah.
And they track, let's say, I don't know, the largest corporations on the S&P 500, you know, Microsoft, Amazon, yeah, all of those kinds of things. You pay a minimal fee to invest your money with those.
Mm-hmm.
But as these companies grow, guys, be realistic. Do you think that the 30 largest corporations in the world will suddenly lose their value? Sure, you have economic fluctuations, but it's hell of a better way to store your money, let it work for you, rather than just sit in the account. Safer way than just going stocks. Continue.
But you just said exactly what I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically what you're trying to say is that you want to invest your money into stuff like stocks, which is, yeah, a difficult game, but you go in thinking you're not going to take this money out. That's there to grow. That's your little plant that you want to grow. Do you get what I mean?
And if you do want to take it out, at least you're not losing money.
Yeah.
You just sell off what you need and let it sit there and continue to grow.
Mm. Choosing the right stock, though, that's tough for somebody like me. That's really tough.
Yes. And that's why I said index funds.
Yeah.
We're not analytical analysts or anything like that.
You don't have that Patagonia vest quite yet.
No, I don't. However, what we could say is, as I said, babe, index funds.
Yeah.
So what happens, you said a stock is risky because it goes up and down in value.
No, what I'm saying is that people... I mean, stocks to me is scary. I don't know. I don't know which one to choose.
Yeah, and this is what I'm trying to say, babe.
Yeah.
Because I'm explaining an index fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, because one stock is scary, if you diversify your money across, I don't know, the 10 largest corporations, top 30, something like that, via an index fund. Listen, this is not the best way to grow your money. This is not how you make the most amount of money. However, this is a way to make sure your money grows and not declines in value. Okay, so this index fund is a pool of cash that they then invest in these 30 largest corporations. So they spread it out. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just keep track of what, you know, the index of the S&P.
Mm.
And that's what they're talking about on the news. You
that
know,
simplifies oh, it, everything.
It went up to 27,000, down to 10,000, you know, that stuff. So that's what I'm trying to say. So you don't have to be worried about choosing the right stock.
Well, that's good.
You just have to let your money sit there, essentially.
Mm. Great.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
The AirPods Pro, the AirPods Max.
No, that's not the way you introduce them, babe. You can, you know, link it and be like, okay, if you want to save for something, why don't we save for, because we were talking about budgets, you know, why don't we save for the AirPods
Max?
AirPod Max. AirPods Max.
And I know this is, they're expensive, $550. In Sweden, they're nearly 7,000 crowns, which is what, like $750, $800?
That's 3/4 of the student finance per month.
Yeah, that you get in Sweden if you're a student.
That's wild.
Yeah, my initial reaction is that I don't like him.
Oh!
You love him.
Oh, I feel like I'm the minority, though. Like, everybody's hating on them. Because MKBHD doesn't quite like them.
No.
I mean, he wasn't a fan of the case.
No, I... Well, the way I see it is... in terms of the looks, first of all, I think they look better mixed. But to mix them, you have to, what, pay $80 for another ear cuff?
Yeah, so when you mean mix, you mean mix the color of the ear cuffs, which are sold can be sold separately.
They are sold separately at $80 a piece.
No, but what I'm saying is that when you buy the actual headphones, they must come with cuffs, no?
Yes.
Okay, thank the Lord. I was going to say another Apple trick. No, so you have to... So what you're saying is that they look better with the
mixed
different colored
cuffs.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that if they wanted people to mix the cuffs, you would think that they would put a better kind of color palette together.
Mm.
Like green and red. You don't want to go around walking like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, but before you get all judgmental here, babe, you've seen some of the mixes where you have one color cuff and then one color original hardware.
Yeah.
And some of them look really good.
I only liked one colorway.
Okay, you only liked one.
But I do like the headphones.
You do like the headphones.
Yeah.
Okay, so in my world, they're probably good audio-wise.
Yeah.
Noise cancelling is probably good. It's probably up there with the Bose and Sony's, if not a little bit better.
Mm.
However, the price...
Yeah, it's a
problem. The price and the charging.
Mm.
So they're always on standby. There's no on and off switch.
Mm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is pointing towards the future somehow in Apple world.
Is that pointing towards?
And there's no wireless charging. Not even on the case, to my knowledge.
Mm.
So I feel those things are a mix. And I saw a good video. If you want high quality headphones... You know, there's two lanes. Either the ones in Apple pricing, AirPods Max, with tech in them, or standard cord high-quality headphones.
Mm-hmm.
Standard cords quality headphones probably going to be better than these ones at that price point. However, you do get a lot of cool tech with these. It switches between devices, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So... The question then to me, who own a pair of Bose noise cancelling QC35-2, is, are they better? And I would doubt so. I would doubt it's worth me spending that amount of money when I don't have it for those headphones.
Mm. No, I can agree with you. I do agree with the charging thing.
Mm.
I think it's very anti-2020 to just leave your device and let it drain.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
That's not the vibe that we're going for, is it?
So, if you take them off, they go into a...
Low power mode.
Yeah. And if you put them in the case, they go into ultra low power mode.
But the thing is that they take time to realize that they're not being kind of used, you know?
I don't think so. I think it's like the AirPods when they have sensors on the ears, you know, they'll feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So, as soon as you blip...
So, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, but I mean, but on the other hand, you know, once again, it is Apple. So you're sitting there with the iPad and you're switching to the computer and it just seamlessly switches.
Mm.
I think that's magic and you probably can't live without it once you've had it.
Probably. iPad for studying, yes or no?
Yes.
Mm.
iPad Pro.
Why?
Because I have friends who do it and it's nice. I don't like reading digitally, but taking notes have looked amazing.
Yeah. And I mean, what's crazy is that it feels like you're writing on paper.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me because that's the feeling I like, you know?
Mm.
That feeling of pen to paper, that to me, that sounds like productive.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The fact that they have that kind of feeling on an electrical device is
you
want to
know why?
Why?
Because the delay is abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Apple is good.
Mm.
So if you normally have 12 milliseconds, I don't know the exact figures, but I think the iPad is something like 5. So it feels like you're actually writing on something real. So if you have a friend with an iPad, go out and try it.
Yeah.
However, I would say that I would never switch out the computer for the iPad.
No.
They go hand in hand.
Mm. You got to have both. You got to be that person.
We're so sassy.
I know, we're so sassy. We've only got one disclaimer. We have not got an iPad in the house, do we?
No.
Or do we?
Is this
Christmas is coming up.
Is this what happens when you're in dental school, gonna make bucks in the future, and I'm in the economics school and gonna make bucks in the future?
We're gonna have a library of iPads.
Is this our life now? Fully materialistic people.
Oh, good Lord.
Just caring about what possessions are in our possession.
That was good. No, I feel like we are both down to earth people. Very at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, you have your mom who would never let you become super materialistic.
Well, I can disclose it now. I'm going to be the most, I forgot the word, so I can't say it. I'll say it when I remember the word.
Eccentric?
Billionaire in the world.
That just goes to show how many times I've heard that word.
Hey guys, it's Gary Vee. You're listening to the Breeze Podcast.
No, but I think well, you okay, let's get personal for a second here.
Ooh. Ooh, the forbidden fruit.
You know better than anyone listening to this, watching this, anyone who's been following me, how insane I am.
There it is.
I am very particular in how I like things, and I want everything to the highest possible standard, and it's not always easy.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
It definitely is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm also on that level in terms of standards.
Yeah.
But you know, you gotta bend sometimes.
Yeah. My conclusion is that I'm an only child and former individual professional athlete.
Mm.
So those are like two things that make you super this way.
Particular.
Yeah.
But the thing is that the energy I also get from you, like it is inspiring also. Yeah. Do you get what I mean? You also inspire me to realize that I can do anything. Like I can reach that standard if I really want to. There's nothing stopping.
Yeah.
The difference between me and you is that you've had to prove your self-belief to an extreme level. I've also had to prove mine, but it's not to the point of a individual athlete.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think self-belief is a really, really part of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. what would you warn yourself if you, with this knowledge you have now, met yourself before we started dating? What would be like, it's an amazing guy, but...
But just ask him.
No. What advice would you give to yourself?
Don't take things so personally.
Okay.
100%.
Okay.
So like in terms of food,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you don't like the food,
mm-hmm.
It's nothing wrong with me. Like you're not going to like, I don't know.
Another area where I'm very particular as well.
Oh, yeah, but I love you for it.
Mm.
You know,
I don't have a bad taste in food. I'm just not scared of saying if you don't like
something.
Anything.
Exactly.
And there are some things that I don't like that I won't eat. Period.
Period, yeah. Whereas I think it's just a difference. Like, I grew up, I had to finish everything on my plate.
Mm.
You know, I just had to. It was kind of a no choice. Kind of
so
thing.
So when you didn't like anything, you just had to force eat it.
I mean, to be honest, my parents didn't give me that much shit, like if I didn't like something, because it was very rare. Like I don't know if it was just like I kind of didn't think twice about what I was eating. Do you get what I mean? So I was just But I was annoying when I was younger, for sure. Like, they had to, when I was a baby or like a toddler, I was so annoying about food. And they would feed me one spoon of rice and one spoon of ice cream just to get food down me, you know?
Yes, amazing, babe. I was just gonna note on our little notepad here, clear your voice when I talk
and sorry.
Look away from the microphone. But you managed that elegantly.
All by myself. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
But do you know why my voice is like this?
No.
Because we've been training today on how to talk to people.
Okay.
So as a healthcare professional, you got to show a lot of empathy. Mm-hmm. You know, as a boss, as a leader, you got to show empathy towards your employees. You got to be able to listen, you know. You got to be able to say the right questions so without giving advice, you know. And for a healthcare professional, that's pretty difficult. Like, if somebody's coming in, and, you know, you're there to make them.
I'm coming in to your clinic now.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so treat me what you learned today.
Okay.
I'm sitting in the waiting room. My name gets called. I come into your room. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. What can I do for you today? Why are you here?
Well, I have some ache in my tooth, so I think it might be a hole or I don't know.
Okay, well, we can always take a look.
Okay, but I'm a little bit scared of dentists.
Okay, well, why don't you take a seat, make yourself feel comfortable. Would you like a glass of water before we start?
Yes, please. That would be nice.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
No problem. So what I'm doing is I'm making you feel comfortable. We're not in a rush. You know, a lot of people go to a healthcare professional thinking that they're in a rush. You know, that's not the atmosphere you want to build. So then I'm going to ask you, okay, what makes you scared of the dentist? What's happened? What are your past experiences? I get the patient to open up about their past experiences. I hold no judgment that they're scared of me. You know, absolutely no judgment whatsoever. And then if we, you know, if we eventually get into the mouth, we see the hole, we don't judge them for, you know, maybe we ask them about what their daily habits are. Are you eating? Are you eating a lot of sugar? You know, why do you eat a lot of sugar? I mean, obviously it makes you feel really good. That's so nice. You know, you don't judge. You never judge, and you get the patient to open up and want to come back again.
Nice. Solid strategy.
Yeah.
A plus.
Yeah.
Is this why dentists are always running late?
Because we care so much about our people.
Yeah, what you learned today.
I don't know about that. You got to take that up with your dentist.
Afshin, we're coming to England soon, so I'll take it up with you. Maggie's dad is my new dentist.
Yeah. Why not my mom?
You know what? I'm going to have them battle it out when we're in England.
Okay.
They're going to have to fight over who gets to take care of my mouth.
Okay, fair enough. I used to have both. I didn't really get to choose.
You didn't?
No, but when I did have loose teeth, I would go to my dad.
You would?
Yeah, but only because I knew that he'd give me a way to get it out somehow.
Okay.
And usually it would be him asking to take a look. And then boom.
Ripping it out.
Rips it out. I mean, only if it's on its like last legs, like.
So we asked for some questions, and we got one.
Yeah.
Which is, if 2020, how do you see 2021? Has it been good or bad? 2020, what do you see about 2021?
Yeah, will 2021 be better than 2020?
Why don't you start?
Goodness me. Okay, so what I think about 2021, let's start with 2020, the present. We've learned a lot this year, yes? In general, I'm speaking now, not personally. In general, we've learned a lot as a society, you know, working from home, you know, companies have had to speed up in terms of their technical advances and stuff like that. And then people have had to slow down on various other personal aspects in their life because they haven't been allowed out.
I don't know how much we missed, guys, but after a while, the camera stops recording. We'll just leave a blank slate.
All right.
Continue.
Okay. So we learned a lot from 2020. And I think 2021 is really great for the human race's kind of evolution, you know?
Mm.
And I feel like we're going to take all the positive things from 2020 into our day, into our 2021, you know? I think that nothing is going to go back to normal,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to be able to create a new and better normal.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Oof. In terms of, okay, on a personal level, many people have had to be with themselves for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
Many older generation have had to, you know, get up a computer, work from home, work out how Zoom works. That must have been challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Now we've maybe closing the technological gaps between generations to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's just some examples I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Well, spot on. With that said, guys, I have a lot of studying to do, so please keep that in mind. Let's hope John will be back next week.
Yeah.
Or I will suddenly get sick before next episode, and
and this
you
podcast will
to
finally be mine.
yours and John's. You'll do an episode
with John.
You know what I should do?
What?
I should just contact John's girlfriend.
And do what?
And have her stand in for him.
Yeah, you could definitely do that. Get her on the podcast.
Next time John's on vacation, I'm going to do this with John's girlfriend.
Whose name is?
Vicky.
Yes.
Sorry, babe, but it kind of trumps your name.
Vicky.
The V, Victoria.
Oof. Uh-huh. Oh, I see why.
I'm just saying, like, it's a
I
very beautiful name, babe.
John.
Could John have picked...
John, I need your help, John.
Could he have picked a better named...
I guess he has as good taste as I do.
Yeah. Who can?
Credit to me and John. Yeah, credit to me and John.
And with that, guys, thank you for listening. And
thank you guys for listening to my voice. I'm sorry that, you know, it's not as deep and melodic as good old John's. But I've tried my best and I really hope that I've given you some fun content to listen to. That was the longest outro.
Well, it's not done yet, babe. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. We'll see you next week was what I was looking for.
Okay.
Babe. Come on.
Good night.
Come on.
Goodbye.
No, up with your hand. We need to black out.
Oh,
peace.